My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So let's go to my right here. We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Nate, happy to have you on the show today. I will just hand you the ball here. What are you hearing about Hollywood Brown? This was an injury when it first happened. It sounded like he was going to be two, maybe, and he was going to play Sunday Night Football against the Falcons. I don't think that anymore. That's not what this injury sounds like.
No, it's not, and glad to be on. So I'll take you through the timeline as best I can in the shortest amount of time. But I think as early as Monday, the Chiefs were expecting, and Hollywood Brown was expecting, to participate in practice at some point this week, whether it was Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Now, the odds of him, as of Monday, playing in this Sunday's game against the Cincinnati Bengals was still relatively low, but there was a chance. And as I wrote in The Athletic, maybe a chance to play a limited role, right? Something to where, you know, kind of what we saw last week with Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Where he got a handful of snaps. He was on the field, but obviously he wasn't a major part of the game plan. I believe, and I don't know this exactly, but I believe based on all the information I've been told, it was either Tuesday or I think it was either Monday afternoon or Tuesday. Where they looked at the scan just to make sure before he was, again, going to try to practice either Wednesday or Thursday. And they looked at the scan, then they took another look, and they realized that his collarbone had not been, you know, put into place the way it was, as Rick Buchholter said, I'm sure you played the audio, 3 weeks prior without having the need to, you know, medically, surgically put it in place. When the injury occurred in Jacksonville. So Wednesday becomes, I think Tuesday and Wednesday becomes how many specialists can we get to see this, right? And then, okay, how bad is it based on, you know, much of what we just heard from the previous doctor? Like, there really is no, there isn't a ton of precedent, a ton of information on this. So I think by Wednesday, I mean, and this is crazy because, like, I wrote my story, like, Wednesday early afternoon. And now in retrospect, I think from the moment I was writing that story about him possibly practicing on Thursday was when he was probably, he being Hollywood Brown, was probably being informed Wednesday that he needed surgery. And then it's a matter of, okay, talk to the specialist in Vail, Colorado, get his opinion on it. You know, let's be logical. Let's not rush to it. And then essentially yesterday, the determination was made and then it became public this morning. So I don't know how much I've come across something like this where, you know, this past weekend when the Chiefs weren't playing football, I was kind of updated and said, hey, like, it looks like it's good. Everything stays the way it should be. He's going to practice this week. To where all of a sudden you think Monday, I'm sure for Hollywood Brown's mind, all of a sudden Monday you're thinking, hey, I feel fine. I don't feel a ton of pain. But sure, whatever. Like, you know, if we got to take another look, that's fine. But I'm going to practice on Wednesday or Thursday, and I'm going to play on the game at some capacity on Sunday. And then you're told 2 days later that, like, the best case scenario is that he comes back in mid-December is the explanation and the hope. But that is, like, a very optimistic. You have the surgery on Monday. Everything goes perfect. There is no issue when you look at these scans months later. And then, as we've talked about, I'm sure, before, football conditioning, being cleared for contact, obviously, getting back in rhythm with your teammates. Andy Reid is more traditional than maybe the average NFL coach. So
it sounds to me like you don't think he's playing this year.
Again, the best case scenario, I believe, is mid-December to give him a chance to play a few weeks. I wrote this. It's up on The Athletic right now if you want a little bit more details on it in the written form. But I'm looking at the schedule right now, and I didn't want to put a date on it. But they play the Cleveland Browns on December 15th. And then you have three games, potentially.
It's a really tough stretch to pop up if you haven't been playing football all year.
If everything goes perfect, ladies and gentlemen, he would theoretically have the Houston Texans on December 21st. And then an even crazier turnaround that we've never seen before in NFL history, where, hey, you're playing on Christmas in the middle of a Wednesday at Pittsburgh, involves travel. And then maybe, but see, there comes the question of playoff seeding, who's playing, who's not playing. Are you going to be on the field at the same time as Patrick Mahomes on, as of right now, on the schedule, January 5th against the Denver Broncos on the road in Denver? But that game could be moved to Saturday or Monday, depending on playoff implications and playoff seeding. So, yeah, maybe you return to practice on December, like the game before December 15th against the Cleveland Browns, and you would have a handful of snaps in the potential of three games to be possibly available to be used in a playoff run. But I was told 2 to 3 months, and with a situation like this, everybody's cautioned me on the three-month window. So, again, if he has a surgery on Monday, that'll be, what, September 16th? Which, again, puts you around that Cleveland Browns December 15th date. And then whether he's back or not is I mean, this is uncharted for everyone involved, including Hollywood. So, yeah, best case scenario, maybe he plays against the Houston Texans or these Pittsburgh Steelers or the Denver Broncos in the season finale.
I want to continue this conversation coming up on the other side. We got Nate Taylor here. He is with The Athletic. He doesn't think, are you just, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Best case scenario
December,
for Hollywood Brown
mid-December.
Is you think December. That's the best case scenario. Yes. Usually with injuries, best case scenario
doesn't
really
always happen.
Right. So that's certainly one thing to know. We'll talk about this more coming up on the other side. Who you think is now in line to step up and make up for the targets, yards, catches that we thought he was going to have. And we'll get more to Bengals and Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. We got Nate Taylor taking us up until 4:30. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh.
I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got Nate Taylor from The Athletic here. Nate Taylor, let me ask you this question. On a scale from 1 to 10, how big of a deal is this Hollywood Brown injury? Now, just based on what you said, sounds like at a minimum he is going to miss between 12 to 14 weeks of the NFL regular season. You kind of pinpointed December 15th. Not throwing a date, but that's a good target date. That's a three-game stretch. They got one more game. That's the final four games of the season. On a scale from 1 to 10, how big of a deal is this?
It's honestly like a 7 or an 8.
Okay.
Because, and I was thinking about this earlier today too, like, it's not the same, but it's similar to, like, at least you know now, because the Chiefs didn't know this at this point last year. But this just puts another burden on rookie Xavier Worthy in a way that you were trying to mitigate with having Rasheed Rice, Travis Kelce, and, of course, Hollywood Brown. Last year, they put more of a workload, more of a mental burden on Rasheed Rice because they realized by, what, October, that, like, none of these other receivers are good. So, hey, now moving forward, Rasheed Rice is your number one receiver. You still, of course, have Travis Kelce, but you need a number two receiver, and that now is thrust upon Xavier Worthy, who had a fantastic, you know, debut last week. But you know, you have to repeat it and prove it week after week, and there's no Hollywood Brown to sort of give you protection if you have an injury, if you have, you know, sort of a dip in play style, or if defenses adjust to you. And again, you just have never seen it before at the NFL level, whereas someone like Hollywood Brown has seen it. So in one way, based on their draft, on their evaluation of how to improve the offense, the Chiefs pretty much did as well as you can, especially once you add, you know, a young Bull and Carson Steele and a Jarrett McKinnon type and Samaje Perine. Kingsley Suamataia looks okay. So, in theory, everything looked in place for this offense to be really, really dynamic, really, really explosive. But a lot of that was relying on, you know, your biggest free agent acquisition, Hollywood Brown, coming in and being a really productive receiver. With him being out for 3 months, hell no, who knows, maybe 4 months, who knows how he'll be come playoff time, then you've got to get yet again one of the more impressive rookie seasons from a receiver, much like you did last year with Rasheed Rice, for the offense to be as potent, as, you know, capable as they can be, without a veteran who's done it before with obviously really good quarterbacks in the past, whether that be Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray.
So I am a lot lower on this than you for this reason. I think that Hollywood Brown was probably going to have somewhere between 750 to 825 yards this year with the Chiefs.
That's fair.
I think you can piece those yards together. If you were telling me that Travis Kelce is going to have over 900 yards, Rashee Rice is going to have over 900 yards, and Isaiah Pacheco from scrimmage. So you got three legitimate weapons in your offense. If Xavier Worthy then gives you 500 to 600 yards and he's an explosive player, you now got Justin Watson that he's firmly your fifth offensive option. Samaje Perine in that. There's enough there that I think you can piece this together. Now, this obviously takes a big sledgehammer to the depth that you've created on your team. Rice cannot get hurt this season.
Correct.
Xavier Worthy cannot get hurt this season.
Right.
Your key contributors, you had a little bit of depth that you had built up by your moves in free agency, and you kind of destroyed that now with this injury. You took a gamble on a player with a questionable injury history, and his injury history came back to bite you a little bit. So you're going to need to stay healthy, and you're going to need contributions from other players. You're far higher on this than me. I'd probably put this like a 5.5.
I just worry because you don't know what to expect from a rookie week in, week out, even if they do run a 4-2-1. And that's a lot of, I mean, I think, and partly, you know, I understand where you're coming from, because it also, there's a level of trust with, like, well, I mean, we know this is a good coaching staff, right? We know Andy Reid and Matt Nagy can sort of figure things out as the season goes along. You have the best quarterback in the world. So there's reasons for, you know, to be a little bit more hopeful. I just think Rashee Rice cannot get hurt, to your point. Xavier Worthy, who's never played at the NFL level with this level of physicality, like, can you back it up and be productive for 17 games? One of the things that he deserves the benefit of the doubt is Xavier Worthy never missed a game in college. But again, there's going to be rough stretches for any rookie in the NFL. So I'm not asking Xavier Worthy to be an all pro, but I'm also, you know, asking him to be a capable contributing weapon.
I want him to be McColl's rookie year. If he can be what McColl was his rookie season and get you between 500 and 600 yards and give you six or more touchdowns, I think you're happy.
Yeah.
Who do you think is more likely to step up for this offense? Do you think it's Juju or McColl?
It's a great question. They're going to give the opportunity first, I believe, to Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, the training staff, medical staff know Juju very well. They obviously understand they need to sort of do their best with his knee, you know, lingering issues that have been really the case since, what, 2021? But they're going to give him the first opportunity just because he is a veteran receiver. He did show a real sense of where to go against zone coverage. Obviously, he's a bigger body, so he can make more contested catches, you would think, than McColl Hardman. Because Xavier Worthy and Justin Watson are still going to be on the field quite a bit, I do think there is some doubling that involves with, you know, McColl Hardman and the fact that, like, yeah, McColl can still be available if need be, but I do think they're probably going to give Juju more of an opportunity with Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice working underneath. That could give him some one-on-one opportunities. He can obviously, as they showed in Baltimore or against the Ravens, like, I mean, if Juju makes the catch, it's a pretty good catch in the red zone, which he's capable of doing. Of course, he has to stay healthy throughout the course of the season, too, which will be, you know, a question sort of looming over him. But overall, I think the team is more likely to trust Juju right now than they are to give it to McColl, because I think they're going to try to give as many snaps as possible to bring Xavier Worthy along as fast as they can.
Really quick here, and I want to get to Chiefs and Bengals coming up at the top of the hour. Do you think there's any chance that the answer is outside of the building?
Here we go.
Speculation time.
Here we go, kids. I just looked this up, Carrington. The Chiefs have more money than they usually do, because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? They're trying to win the Super Bowl every year. Right now, they got $6 million in cap space. Obviously, they have draft picks. I'm just saying, because of this injury with Hollywood Brown, and we'll see where the season goes, not necessarily for the Chiefs, but I'm talking like teams that are going to be disappointing, like 0-6, 2-6.
The Giants, Carolina.
2-5.
Yeah,
you might want to make some calls. I think the Chiefs, because of this injury, are now definitely probably buyers in the trade market. whether it's at receiver, whether it's at defensive end. But they have a little bit more money than they usually do. Like in the past, just for context, they've usually been around that $3.5-4 million range. They got $6 million to play with. They got, you know, draft picks to sort of shell out if necessary. But I do think there's a chance for someone to come in midway through the season, probably younger, probably a Kadarius Toney like trade, but you could take on a rookie contract. I don't know if I know some people have speculated about like Amari Cooper, and I'm like, I don't know about that. But yeah, to your point, someone's going to be bad in mid October, and you should probably pick up the phone and just see what's out there on the trade market.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Coming up on the other side, we will talk all Chiefs, all Bengals, and get you ready for week two as Cincinnati comes to town trying to avoid starting the season off 0-2. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, we are talking Chiefs and Bengals the rest of the way. We are joined by our guy, Nate Taylor. He is with The Athletic in studio. All right, let's start with this. I picked Cincinnati to win the division. Of all the teams that played in week one, they were by far and away the most disappointing to me. It's not just the fact that they lost. 16 teams win week one, 16 teams lose week one. So that is not an overreaction point to me.
Okay.
It was the how they did it and how they looked in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the question this week, and you're a great person to ask this question to because you were at both AFC championship games. When was the last time that we saw healthy Joe Burrow? And when was the last time that he looked like a legitimate top five guy? Because I put him in that conversation. You put him in that conversation. Mm-hmm. I imagine everybody listening puts him in that conversation. Well, he wasn't last year.
Right.
He looks hurt this year.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look the same. And ever since we have known Joe Burrow, he has popped up. He's always had like an it. It's been something special with Joe Burrow. Sunday was the first time in a while I've watched him, and he just looked very pedestrian. He had, out of his first 20 throws, 16 of them went 5 yards or less. Ooh. If that's the quarterback that you are now, you're not a top five quarterback in the league anymore. You're not special anymore.
Yeah, man, I think the peak of his powers really were that 2021 playoff run for the Bengals, going all the way to the Super Bowl. You could say a drive away from being Super Bowl champions if Aaron Donald doesn't exist. They were beat up. I think what people have to remember is that the Chiefs were actually the more healthier team in the 2022 championship game. Joe Burrow's offensive line was beat up. And I don't know if they didn't have Tyler Boyd in that game either. And I know people have been somewhat coming to the realization that maybe Joe Burrow can't lift the tide the way that, you know, a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes can, if things are not optimal with your skill position players or your offensive line. So with the appendix, with the calf, with the wrist now, this ain't great. It is wild when you look at his chart on Next Gen Stats, right? Just his passing targets, where he's throwing the football. Not great. And guess what? There's a healthy Chris Jones across the line of scrimmage. George Karloftis will not have to play as much contain. He can actually pin his ears back and go to the quarterback because it's not, you know, there's a sizable difference between the athleticism of Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. Tershawn Wharton actually played pretty well in the season opener too. No T. Higgins. He's listed as doubtful, but he's not playing.
Yeah, and that's why at least the point that I've made this week is, let's say that you're worried about the Bengals in this game, and there's reasons to be worried about
the
Bengals. They've played four games against this team. They've all been one possession games. They've all come down to the final 4 minutes. If you're picking Cincinnati, it's perfectly fine. You got to answer for at least for me with who. Because let's say that Ja'Marr Chase has 95 yards receiving, right? 95 yards. It's been a while since a number one wide receiver has really cooked Kansas City.
Right.
So let's say he gets 95 yards receiving. A good day. You got to tell me where the other yards are coming from on that team.
I don't know.
Because what I've seen from the Chiefs defense is there's no reason to think that Zach Moss is running for 100 yards. And I look at their other wide receivers and their tight end. When was the last time that one of those guys really hurt Kansas City?
Well, this goes to the fact that they had elite drafting pretty early on, and now it's sort of catching up to them because even from a depth chart standpoint, Trenton Irwin is going to get a lot of run on Sunday.
They have guys that I've never heard of.
Chase before. Brown. I mean, Mike.
Tanner Hudson. I don't know who that is.
I mean, Mike Gesicki, he been in the league for a while. He's 28.
Yeah.
He really hasn't been great since he left Miami as being like a viable number one tight end type of receiver. So, I mean, he had 4 targets, 3 receptions, 18 yards. His longest reception was 7 yards, which goes back to the chart. If people can't see it right now, on Next Gen Stats, to Carrington's point, I'm looking at Joe Burrow's passing chart. Ooh, buddy. He only attempted 6 passes beyond the actual 10-yard mark. So
that quarterback doesn't beat Kansas City
at all. No, especially with the way the Chiefs, I think, actually tackled pretty well in the first matchup, considering Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry were on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So he only had 1 completion of 20 air yards or more past line of scrimmage. He only had 2 that were kind of in that, you know, intermediate zone, and those were to the boundary, which I can tell you who caught those passes: Ja'Marr Chase. So if the pass chart looks like this on Sunday, and again, it's not at home, it's on the road. It'll be obviously loud in Arrowhead. And he didn't get the best pass protection. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't the best. But he can't move in the pocket the way he used to as well. And I think you're starting to see a little bit of some tarnish on just how polished he was in that 2021-2022 season. I'm a bit concerned because what happens if, as we saw last week, if Chris Jones beats a double team in less than 2 seconds and is in the backfield and you're rearing back with that wrist and he knocks the ball out of your hand.
It's coming out of Jabbar's hand.
Well, is that going to further damage, you know, his health? Is that going to further compromise his ability to even push the ball down the field? So, again, passes that were 15 yards or more past the line of scrimmage, only 4 in last week's game against the New England Patriots, who have an okay defense, but yeah, this is a combo. This is both Joe Burrow's own issues and the fact that outside of Ja'Marr Chase, they are not threatening you deep with any of the dudes we just named earlier. A lot of the burden honestly is going to have to go on Zach Moss, and he only had 9 carries for 44 yards in last week's game against the New England Patriots.
I mean, football is just really simple that if you add up how Cincinnati played, you didn't need to watch the game.
No.
New England outran them by 100 yards. New England won the turnover differential.
Yep.
They got more sacks on Cincinnati's quarterback than their quarterback got sacked, and they won time of possession. I don't care who's playing quarterback for the other team. If all of those things add up together, you are going to lose more times than not. And that's why, to me, if you want an X factor in this game, the X factor in this game to me is Zach Moss.
Ooh.
If Cincinnati is going to win this game, he has to have at least 80 yards.
Mm.
You're not winning this game if he gets 12 carries for 51 yards rushing. That is just not right. A game script to me for Cincinnati. They don't have enough other firepower. He needs to be a guy that has like 16 carries for 82 yards, and he also has 25 yards out of the backfield.
Correct.
So you got 2 legitimate. Ja'Marr Chase plays a good game. Zach Moss plays a good game. And Burrow is able to distribute and get the other guys in. Kind of like what Kansas City's formula was last season, how they were going to win with some of the limited options that they are going to have. And that's why at least I led the show with this. This game to me is a lot more about Cincinnati than it is about Kansas City. We all know what Kansas City is. Nobody's opinion is shifted on Kansas City if they lose this game. I want to see if Cincinnati is still the Cincinnati of old. Because if there was one thing we knew the Bengals could do, it was get up to play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Correct.
I've seen them do it every single time. This used to feel like a coin flip game. It could go either direction. It's going to be tight in the final 4 minutes of this game. if Kansas City wins this game comfortably or convincingly, that says to me more about Cincinnati and how they've declined over the course of the last 18 months than about Kansas City. They've stayed consistent. They're the best team in the AFC, the best team in the NFL. We used to consider Cincinnati on that same level and that same tier. I'm not sure if you can do that right now with how they just played coming off the loss to New England.
Adding to your point, I think the other way that the Bengals can win this game is with turnovers or with constant pressure on Patrick Mahomes. So it really does come down to how does Kingsley Suamata'ia match up against the likes of Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard coming off the edge. Those are two very good pass rushers. Logan Wilson is going to play. He's their best linebacker, but he's dealing with an injury. You know, he was limited in practice this week. So they're going to need their defense to be awesome, which, you know, they're going to – I mean, the Chiefs should just hand the ball off like 25 times. I mean, to your point, they couldn't stop – what's his name? Rhamondre Stevenson. They just couldn't. You know, 25 attempts, 120 yards, touchdown. The other thing, too, to point out is, I look at this, and this is like Carolina Panthers bad. This was the first half for the Cincinnati Bengals on offense last week, Carrington. 3 yards – or three pays, punt. Three plays, punt. 13 plays, fumble in the red zone. Mm. Now, because of the scoreboard and the implications, they actually had to go for it on fourth down to start the third quarter. They lost the possession on downs. Then they had a touchdown. Then they had a field goal. And then with the game on the line, 3 plays, 5 yards, punt, never get the ball back. They only had 8 possessions in last week's game. And that's because they went 3 and out in 4 of those 8 possessions. So if you do that against the Chiefs.
And really quickly, to add to what you just said, 4 of those were 3 and outs. 2 of them ended in a fumble.
Yes.
So, I mean, out of their six possessions, they either got a 3 and out or they got a fumble.
Yes. And so if they have multiple 3 and out against the Chiefs, they're getting boat raced. I mean, I think the Bengals have to come into this game not with like full on desperation, but with at least some urgency to get 27, 30 points. Because even without Hollywood Brown, if the Chiefs perform even slightly better than they did against the, you know, Baltimore Ravens, who have a better defense right now than the Cincinnati Bengals, they will put up 30 points. So they were limited in what they could do on offense because they couldn't push the ball down the field. They made a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes. They were lacking discipline at times, and they only had 8 possessions. To your point about the time of possession. So if you only get 8 possessions in a game against the Chiefs, you need to be scoring, not punting the football to Patrick Mahomes.
So I made a list over the course of the week that I want to read to you. This was what I think right now. It is an always changing, evolving list of who I think their top 5 rivals are at the given time.
Ah.
So this is what it is. I think number 5 is the Raiders.
Sure.
I had the Broncos at first, and Rob convinced me.
Nah,
so I decided to make
that Broncos
switch.
Don't even exist, man. Their one win was when Patrick Mahomes was hurt, or not hurt, was when he was sick, because, you know, rumor is it. It's not even a rumor. It's true. Blaine Gabbert got sick, and then got Patrick Mahomes sick, and then then their whole offense played like garbage. So, yes, no, the Broncos do not exist.
So the Raiders are number 5. The Chargers are number 4 on this list.
Sure.
I would put the Ravens at 3. I've switched that now. I would put the Ravens at 3, the Bills at 2, and the Bengals at 1.
Man.
Is that how you would rank the Chiefs' current rival? Because I heard some people say San Francisco. It's a little different to me.
No, because it's not. Yeah, it's not the conference. You don't see them every year.
And that's the big difference. I mean, they've played Cincinnati now. This is the 5th time they've played them in 3 years. They've played Buffalo. It feels like every year they play Buffalo.
Right.
That changes it. That you and I are around the same age. We grew up in the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady era where it felt every year on Sunday Night Football, those two teams were going to play each other. Or when you got to see Pittsburgh kind of get to that point where it was always going to be a 3:25, week 12 on CBS, Patriots and Steelers, and it was going to be a good game. That's what a rivalry is to the Chiefs now. It's not to me telling the same John Elway stories that we were telling back in 1995. No, competitiveness is based on you need to beat this team to win the division. You need to beat this team to be the one seed. You keep playing this team in the postseason. That's what the Patrick Mahomes era rivalries are.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it tells you how far you can fall and how quickly things can change. Because if the Chiefs win on Sunday, then I would have to put Baltimore at one. Just because, you know, and I know Lamar Jackson doesn't have the best record against the Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes is in uniform, but they're a legit contender. They're someone that, like both teams mentioned in the post-game comments, hey, we'll probably see them again in January. For sure. And we'll, you know, we'll see if that game is either in Kansas City or if it's in Baltimore, depending on how the rest of the season plays out. I love the Chargers because, at least through the first game, Jim Harbaugh is just, he's just a really good coach. He just understands that, like, this is how we can maximize my roster that is clearly compromised to some degree. But, hey, I'm going to do enough to beat the Raiders. I'm going to demonstrate right now we better than them. And so the Chargers always play the Chiefs tough, even though the Chiefs have won the majority of those games too, but those are always fun, competitive, Jim Harbaugh being into the mix adds a new element to the rivalry. The Raiders are going to get absolutely destroyed. I cannot stress this enough, ladies and gentlemen, the Raiders, who might not be good, who just might not be as good as they were last year. Even with Antonio Pierce, like, you know, we all know the comments from, you know, the training camp and obviously what happened on Christmas Day last year. So yes, that is a full-on rivalry. It's always going to be the case between those two franchises. But the NFL, Carrington, designed it so that we don't have to wait till week 12 this season. They actually did all these teams a favor. You know what? Lamar Jackson, sometimes he runs around, sometimes he takes too many hits. We get it. Great. You know what? He's going to be fully healthy on game one. So is Derrick Henry. It's going to be awesome. Everybody's going to be healthy. Well, you know, Joe Burrow, again, the appendix, the calf, the wrist. I mean, but he'll be fine by week two, right? He'll be fine. The NFL tried their best to be like, no, Joe Burrow's going to play in this game. And he is, but he's not going to be as good as we all thought he was. Or the Bengals themselves are not going to be the same caliber of team as we thought entering the season. This happens. You know, a team should make the playoffs or a team should be good. And then September, you'd realize, oh, we were just flat out wrong about that team. So Cincinnati's like really at the top of that list. But I love your list. I just think right now, the way Baltimore feels about how close they think they are is reminiscent to what Cincinnati has been the last 2 years. And Cincinnati may get a very harsh reality on Sunday where it's like, hey, we were close. We did beat them at one point. But the distance is actually getting very, very wide because one roster has gotten better or has at least maintained its excellence. And another roster has started to slip and dip. And some of those veteran players that you loved, like DJ Reader, Jesse Bates, like, you know, like guys, Samaje Perine, like guys matter in a sport that's very team dependent. And even if your quarterback's not playing well and your wide receivers are in contract holdouts, yeah, one roster is clearly better than the other, and I wonder if that will be reflected on the scoreboard Sunday.
Cody was the one that made this point to me first, but you mentioned how the schedule breaks out with the AFC. I mean, if the Chiefs win this game against Cincinnati, it is going to be almost nearly impossible for Cincinnati to have a tiebreaker or advantage over Kansas City. I know there's a lot of football left,
right,
but we all think Kansas City is a 12-win team.
Yeah.
Cincinnati would have to win 13 games in order to have a better record than what we think Kansas City is, and they're already 0-2. Now,
right,
you got to get blistering hot down the stretch and just be undeniably the best team in the NFL in the final 3.5 months of the season. I know it's way too early to play seeding, but if you got a 3-game advantage on them, especially given how good we think Kansas City is, this team isn't winning 10 games and then Cincinnati wins 11 and it doesn't end up mattering.
Right.
No, Kansas City wins either 12 or 13 games. That means you got to win 14 to have the advantage over them. You're going to have a obvious advantage over Baltimore because you beat them already. You're also going to have that same advantage over Cincinnati as well. And you also play Houston later on this year, and you also play Buffalo later this year as well, a team that could also compete for the one seed. Like, the one seed, it's not too early to start having that conversation with the teams that we expected to be good in the AFC.
No, totally fair. And unfortunately for Cincinnati, let's say they are 0-2, waking up Monday morning, you still got to play Baltimore twice. You have Philadelphia on your schedule. You have Pittsburgh, and they always are somehow in the mix with Mike Tomlin.
Plus, they got Cleveland. They never beat Cleveland for whatever reason.
Right. They always use Cleveland. They have Dallas on the schedule as well. Like, it's not – they're going to have to navigate this season to even be in playoff contention, let alone obviously competing for the one seed, which I don't think would be in their grasp or in their chance to do that if they lose on Sunday. So, no, it's totally fair. And with everything that has gone on with that team, you got to have everybody in unison. You got to have everybody sort of locked in the same, you know, going in the same direction. And, you know, there's been some – I know that there's no public sound of this, but I know the Chiefs understand that they have been chirping this week, and the Chiefs publicly have not chirped, but they are very much aware of Cincinnati's chirping, whether it's Cam Taylor-Britt, whether it's Ja'Marr Chase. I worry for Cincinnati because they may not have the horses this year, and their two best players, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, really haven't had the same run up to the season as you would hope because of the contract disputes. So good luck to them. But I don't know, man. It's not going to be easy for them to make the playoffs if they start 0-2.
Really quickly, let's go around the room and give a score prediction on what you think the game is going to be. I got 27-17 Chiefs.
30-17 Chiefs.
31-20 Chiefs.
We all got them covering then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could get ugly.
Are you more confident in the Chiefs' offense or defense in this game, real quick? Because I'm more confident in their defense. I would be surprised if Cincinnati scored more than 24 points. Like that's a
really good point. I actually might say offense just because, again, Logan Wilson's dealing with an injury, and they just don't have the same players that they used to have. So as long as you protect Patrick Mahomes, there's not a lot to handle the amount of weapons that the Chiefs have with Kelce, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. They lost to a team that had none of those caliber of players last week to the New England Patriots. So I think both arguments are fair. Why you would say defense and I would say offense, but they didn't see anybody last week like Xavier Worthy. They didn't see anybody last week like Travis Kelce or Rashee Rice.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor. We're out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.